From GPB News, this is Political Rewind. I'm Bill Nigut. Today,
it's time to take another deep breath. I see what's happening in North Carolina.
Governor Deal tells the AJC he'll stand firm against any renewed push to pass a religious liberty bill. But proponents of the measure say they won't be deterred by the governor's resistance. Then,
if we can raise it to 15 in New York or Los Angeles,
Secretary,
or Seattle,
the viewers,
let's do it.
If you're both screaming at each other, the viewers won't be able to hear either of you.
Where else but Brooklyn would we see the bare knuckles brawl that the Clinton-Sanders debate became last night? We'll ask our insiders if the battle for New York is damaging the eventual Democratic nominee's chances to win the White House. The AJC's Jim Galloway, Republican advisor Eric Tannenblatt, and Democratic strategist Billy Linville join me after the news.
Live from NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. People are believed to be trapped beneath houses and buildings leveled by yet another powerful earthquake to hit the Kumamoto region in southern Japan. The U.S. Geological Survey estimates it was a magnitude 7.0. The Japanese broadcaster NHK says a number of calls were coming from residents reporting trapped victims. The USGS's Paul Caruso says there's a good chance of more damage from this quake compared with yesterday's 6.2 tremor.
A deep earthquake, a lot of the energy is absorbed before the waves, the seismic waves, reach the surface of the earth. With a shallow earthquake, those waves are not absorbed, so people who are on the surface around a shallow earthquake are going to feel the effects a lot more severely than if it was deep.
Between the two major quakes, the region has endured dozens of small aftershocks. The city of Boston is commemorating the third anniversary of the marathon bombings, in which three people were killed and hundreds were wounded. Residents were due to observe a moment of silence a short time ago to mark the time of the first of two explosions near the finish line. Alex Ashlock with member station WBUR has more.
Boston Mayor Marty Walsh has established April 15th as One Boston Day, a day of public service. The Boston Youth and Family Centers are collecting donations, and shoes are being collected for the homeless. There will also be a moment of silence at 2:49 this afternoon, the moment the first bomb exploded. Adrian Hazlett-Davis is a survivor of the bombings.
I'll personally be partaking in the wreath-laying ceremonies and then some other events throughout the day, and then also taking some me time to really reflect on the past 3 years.
Hazlett-Davis lost half her left leg in the bombings, but she's running Monday's Boston Marathon to raise money for a charity that helps provide prosthetic limbs to people who can't afford them. For NPR News, I'm Alex Ashlock in Boston.
Belgium's transport minister has resigned over accusations she ignored both internal and external appeals to improve security at Brussels Airport. Terry Schultz reports a flurry of leaked documents has led to a huge scandal 1 month after suicide bombers killed 16 people in the departure terminal.
Jacqueline Galland says she quit because there was a destructive crusade against her inside the transport ministry. Documents in the press show she received a European Union audit last year alleging serious deficiencies in Brussels airport security. Galland had told Belgian Prime Minister Charles Michel she hadn't seen such a review, and that's what he told Parliament yesterday. Announcing Galland's departure, Michel was clearly displeased.
Je ne peux pas accepter que cet élément précis.
It is unacceptable, Michel says. He was not informed of the June 2015 EU critique of Brussels Airport. A member of Galland's own staff warned her even earlier in a now-leaked memo there were what he called well-known jihadists working at the airport. For NPR News, I'm Terry Schultz in Brussels.
Dow's down 26 points. This is NPR News. 15 demonstrators have been arrested in the Capitol Rotunda. NPR's Peter Overby tells us it was part of an 11-day protest on Capitol Hill over political money, voting rights, and redistricting.
The demonstrators entered the Capitol as a tour group, then handcuffed themselves to construction scaffolding.
We demand a democracy
where every vote is counted.
This is day five of nonviolent protests by the Liberal Democracy Spring Coalition. It's the first action inside the building. Capitol Police have made at least 650 arrests. There are no official records, but it appears to be the most people ever arrested in a Capitol Hill protest. More demonstrations are scheduled today, Saturday, and Monday. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.
In his address to a Vatican conference on social justice today, Democratic presidential candidate Bernie Sanders said the gap between the world's wealthy and poor is immoral. His statements mirrored much of the concerns Pope Francis has raised in his bid to make the Roman Catholic Church a stronger champion of the poor. The pontiff heads tomorrow to the Greek island of Lesbos, where thousands of refugees and migrants are detained. Many may be deported back to Turkey under an EU agreement to contain unchecked migration. General Motors reports it is recalling more than a million Chevrolet Silverado and GMC Sierra pickup trucks worldwide because of problems with seat belts. The recall covers certain model 1500 pickups from the 2014 and 2015 model years. I'm Lakshmi Singh, NPR News in Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR stations. Other contributors include Carbonite, providing automatic and secure cloud backup for protecting digital photos, music, documents, and other important files online. Used by more than 1.5 million customers. Learn more at carbonite.com.
It is 3:06 on a Friday afternoon, and we are live in the Midtown Atlanta studios of Georgia Public Broadcasting. All of you procrastinators out there, no, today is not the tax deadline, because it's Emancipation Day in Washington, D.C., and government buildings are all closed. We all have until Monday to get our taxes filed, so celebrate over the weekend the extra time you have. With me in the studio today, as usual, Jim Galloway, the political writer for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, columnist who is in the Dead Tree edition of the paper every Thursday and Sunday, and then you read him online along with his other political writer colleagues at Political Insider at AJC.com. Eric Tannenblatt, who is a Republican advisor to candidates across the board, from president to local races. Of course, he started this race as a big supporter of Jeb Bush's. We're going to watch with interest as this march to the convention happens. Just where you go, Eric, as things move forward. And joining us for the first time today, Billy Linville, a Democratic strategist who's been involved. I guess we first got to know you during the Roy Barnes days, right, Billy?
That's right.
And your work for Roy in those days was?
I was as a campaign communication director.
Communications director. We remember you. Thank you for being here. We're glad to have you here. So let's start today by talking, Jim Galloway, about the interview that your colleague, Greg Bluestein, did the other day with Governor Deal, in which he got a chance to be, he was the first reporter to really hear what Nathan Deal had to say in the aftermath of the veto of the Religious Liberty Bill. So let's listen to a portion. Greg Bluestein has very graciously shared with us the audio tape he made of that conversation. It appeared in the paper, of course. Let's listen to part of that conversation.
It's time to take another deep breath, because I see what's happening in North Carolina. I see what's happening in Mississippi. And I would hope that many of the ones who were pushing for it would not want the state of Georgia to go through that kind of scenario.
That's what's next, right? I mean, you look at North Carolina, you must be rejoicing you're not in the same position as Governor Corey, who had to clarify the law today. You know, you've had backlash there.
That's a difficult situation for him, obviously.
What do you hope to see next year if this does come back?
I'm not going to try to prejudge whether it will come back or what it's going to look like or anything else, because I don't think we know.
Does that worry you that it's going to come back next year?
Well, I don't want to go through the same process all over again. I mean, I think I've made my position very clear. I tried to write a very thoughtful veto message. It expressed my concerns, and it expressed my reasons for vetoing it, and those reasons won't change in my mind.
You've got a lot of adulation, a lot of praise from business interests, from Republicans, but you've also got a lot of, you know, pushback, you know, some of the vitriol out there. Does that take a toll? Does that worry you at all?
Certainly. You know, I think all of us want to be liked by everybody, but when you come to issues like that, you can't be liked by everybody because people have such divided opinions about something. My job as governor is to do what I think is in the overall best interest of the state of Georgia and its citizens as a whole.
So, Jim, that was your colleague Greg Bluestein talking with Governor Deal, I think on Tuesday or Wednesday, about this issue. The governor said what we've thought all along he would say: don't bring this back to me.
Right. He was too polite to to engage in any schadenfreude with the North Carolina's Republican governor. He was very careful about that. But clearly, you know, he's looking at all the boycotts, all the cancellations. I think Eric, before we went on the air, said that Cirque du Soleil had canceled out of North Carolina. Mississippi has seen much of the same thing. Certainly Nathan Deal's got to be feeling good about this, at least for the next 10 months.
Yeah, but Eric, we know that at the same time, Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle and Josh McCoon and the other proponents of religious liberty have made it clear they have every intention of bringing this back in the next session.
Well, it's a lot easier when you're in the legislature. You're in a different position than a chief executive. And Governor Deal, I thought that interview showed what a thoughtful leader he is. You know, he has to represent the whole entire state. He's not representing a Senate district, and he has a tougher job. And I think that he showed some true leadership as he went through his thought process. And I think he was right when he said, you know, we just need to, you know, cool down a bit and sort of step back.
Billy Linville, you have been working this issue on behalf. You do some government affairs work, lobbying work, and you've been working on this issue on behalf of some clients who really don't want to see this thing come back. What's going on down at the Capitol, or what's going on among the various interests in this fight right now?
Well, I talked to a prominent Republican state senator yesterday who said that the relationship with the governor has been severely strained. They are angry. They're determined to bring this legislation back next year. And there's a lot of personal politics at play as well, with Lieutenant Governor Casey Cagle running for governor, and much of the evangelical right is his base. So there's determination to continue this effort to pass a so-called religious liberty bill.
So, Jim, I would think in some ways the legislators who were for this bill, if you want to look at it cynically, might be just as happy that Nathan Deal, you know, they can go to their constituents and say, we voted for it. It's not our fault the governor vetoed it.
Look, maybe if you're in a transitional district that has a good, solid collection of Democrats there. But if you're in the standard Senate or House district that's been drawn by the Republican caucuses, This is the bill that you. This is something that you want to see passed. And remember, it's not just Casey Cagle running a 2018 race for governor. If he runs for governor, there's going to be a race for lieutenant governor,
right,
as well. And that's going to cause a reverberation.
But keep in mind too that we're in the middle of primary season. You know, the elections are, you know, a little bit more than a month away, and so, you know, right now, taking an issue like this out to the voters in some of these more conservative districts, you know, it's a red meat issue. And so that's why they're talking it up.
I sincerely think that the Republican Party in Georgia and across the country needs to think long and hard about this issue, because it's going to severely damage their brand, I believe. Even self-identified evangelical Republicans under the age of 40, a majority now support gay marriage. The trends are only going to get worse for them on this issue. And I think it's a very dangerous effort on their part.
Pat McCrory, governor of North Carolina, who signed this legislation, as we all know, in haste, a one-day special session called to do this. He tried to reverse himself. He's issued an executive order now, Jim, that tries to take out some of the more pernicious aspects of the law.
Right, and it asks the North Carolina legislature to pass some anti-discrimination legislation that's not likely to go anywhere. It had the effect of ticking off the LGBT community and the anti-LGBT community.
Yeah,
yeah.
So.
And if you look around the South, I mean, it's not just happening in North Carolina. I mean, you've got issues popping up in other states too. Tennessee's had to deal with this. Mississippi, another great Republican leader, Nikki Haley. She shut down the South Carolina effort. Yeah, and I think we need more leaders like that. And I have to agree with Billy's point. I as a Republican, you know, I worry about the Republican brand, and in particular, as a state that wants to continue to grow and prosper, We need to attract millennials, and millennials are not, you know, supportive of legislation like this.
All right, so Governor Pat McCrory in North Carolina, I think it's fair to say, has alienated just about everyone at this point, and the guy is in a terrible bind. Nathan Deal, of course, never wants to see himself in
and he's in the middle of a re-election.
And he's got a re-election bid going. All right, look, we're going to take a break now because we're in the middle of our fundraising effort, and we really hope. We have so many people out there who say they love political Rewind. This is a great opportunity to help support the show. Ricky Bevington and Bert Huffman are going to tell you how you can do that.
You can do that by calling us now, 800-222-4788, or by going online to our secure website, gpb.org. You are listening to Political Rewind here on members-supported GPB. And right now, we do invite you to join us in investing in this kind of service. And we're also doing something new here for this spring membership campaign. We're working to move forward at warp speed. As soon as we reach our goal, we are done and this drive is over. We'd like to cut a couple of days off this drive, but we can't do it unless we hear from everybody in our listening community. Let's give this a try. The time to give is right now. Go now to that website. It's gpb.org and click donate or give us a call at 800-222-4788. I'm Ricky Bevington, joined by Tanya Ott.
I'm playing the role of Bert Huffman today. That's what I'm doing. And we're happy to be here this afternoon asking for your support of GPB. We've got a special incentive to get you to go to the website, gpb.org, or to the phone, 800-222-4788. This is a special just today. Every single person we hear from today is going to be entered into a drawing for a $500 Visa gift card. This is a prepaid card that's good anywhere that Visa is accepted. And so that gives you the freedom to buy whatever it is you want, whether it's a thing or an experience. You can make that thing happen when you are the lucky winner, if you're the lucky winner. But we've got to hear from you at gpb.org or 800-222-4788 in order for your name to be in the hat.
We were just hearing our political experts with Bill Nigut talk about religious freedom legislation in Georgia, North Carolina, elsewhere. You know, the political game here in our state is more dynamic than ever. From local elected officials to state and federal government, we are facing complicated issues here at home. So it's programs like GPB's Political Rewind that we can take the time to break down these issues and speak directly to decision makers. We not only catch you up on the week that was in state politics, but we look ahead so you are better informed, especially now that election season is already heating up. It is more important than ever to keep on top of what is happening in our political life, and your support makes it possible. Contribute now at gpb.org or give us a call, 800-222-4788.
You listen to GPB throughout the entire year. And now there's an easy way to support GPB throughout the year. You can join as a GPB sustainer. All it takes is an affordable monthly contribution from your bank account or your credit card, your choice. And as a GPB sustainer, your support is going to automatically continue month after month until you decide to make a change. And of course, it's tax deductible, of course. Especially convenient when you make your monthly contribution from your bank account. That way, we don't have to worry about credit card processing fees, so more of your money goes right back into the programs. And you don't have to remember to update your credit card number if it changes or something like that. So consider the benefits of being a GPB sustainer. There's the convenience, there's the cost factor, and most of all, your monthly commitment to public radio for you and your community. Become a sustainer right now on our website, gpb.org, or if you'd rather call us, you can. Our number is 800-222-4788.
And we have a fabulous thank you gift at the $15 a month sustaining contributor level, or $180 one-time gift. It's the GPB collapsible golf size umbrella. It opens automatically, comes with a matching case. It's actually a great looking umbrella. It's black and white. It'll protect you rain or shine, and the GPB logo shows that you're more than a listener. You are a supporting member of GPB. I really like the look of this umbrella. It's a lot bigger than you think it's going to be. Truly almost like a golf size umbrella. Available to you again at the $15 a month level as a sustainer or a one-time contribution of $180. $80. Take a look at it. It'll be online at gpb.org, and then go ahead and click the donate button at the top of the page. Or, of course, you can always call us at 800-222-4788.
Here's another way you can see the umbrella and all the other thank you gifts, and you can donate. If you're on Facebook, you can go to Georgia Public Broadcasting Facebook page. If you're not already a liker of that page, all you got to do is go into the search box and actually write out Georgia Public Broadcasting. And when you get to the page, you can hit the blue donate button, and then you can scroll down a little bit more on the page after you've made your donation, and you can see some of the cool thank you gifts we have, including that umbrella, the Public Radio Nerd t-shirt, the coffee mug. All of it is there on the GPB, Georgia Public Broadcasting Facebook page. So check it out. Of course, you've always got the standard option for making a donation, and that is to go to gpb.org and click the green donate button at the top of the page, or call us at 800-222-4788.
Welcome back to Political Rewind. Nice to hear you in there, Tanya. I didn't realize you were going to be part of the show this afternoon. It's great to have you here. Just very quickly from me, my wife and I will tell you that as we go around Atlanta on the weekends, last Saturday we were at the Grand Park Farmers Market, and the number of people who come up and now say they're listening to Political Rewind and how much they appreciate the show is incredibly gratifying. And so if you are among those people, come say hello when we see you out in the neighborhoods. But help us keep Political Rewind fueled and moving forward. All right, let's get back to the show. Jim Galloway from AJC is here. Billy Linville, a Democratic strategist, a first-time guest on the show. And Eric Tannenblatt, who is a frequent panelist on the program, also joins us today. Thank you all for being here. By the way, you can tweet us at PoliticsGPB if you want to be part of the conversation. So we played you a little of Greg Bluestein's interview with Nathan Deal on religious liberty the other day. The other big bill, Jim, that, of course, the governor has on his desk and hasn't decided apparently what he wants to do about is campus carry. Let's listen to the brief excerpt from what he said to Greg Bluestein about that bill.
Admittedly, it's another tough decision, you know. Would I have preferred they not put that on my plate? Yes, I would have preferred that, but they did, and I have to come once again to doing what I think is in the best interest of all the citizens of our state, and that's what I intend to do.
Jim, what did he say?
Well, basically, he said that in the interview, he said yes. He had asked legislators to make some very, very specific changes to the campus carry bill. No, it didn't happen. This was the daycare provision. This was kind of giving university officials some administrative say-so over how campus carry would be implemented. And he's got a very, very serious decision to make. He didn't offer any clues as to whether he was not going to sign it or not, but he did express a good deal of concern.
Yeah, he said the same thing about that. He said about religious liberty, that he has to take into consideration all of the people of Georgia. Billy, you said that in conversation with Republicans at the Capitol, they're pretty upset with Governor Deal over the religious liberty veto. If he vetoes campus carry, what's the level of anger going to be about that?
I think there would be an open revolt, and I think it would severely damage Governor Deal's education efforts that he's planning to move next year, and would probably make the remainder of his term very contentious and not very productive.
But Eric, the governor could decide that in for a dollar, you know, in for $5. I mean, you know, if he doesn't think this bill is right, it seems to me he's made it clear he's more than willing to take action.
Well, I think you need to look at his past actions, and he has shown that he's a principled leader, and he's going to do what he thinks is the right thing to do for the state. And he didn't have to veto the religious liberties bill. The easy thing to do would have been to sign it, but he felt strongly about it and stood by his beliefs. And I think the same thing is going to happen with campus carry. That doesn't mean he's going to veto it or he's going to sign it. It just means that he's going to have to really think long and hard. They didn't make the changes that he said that he wanted to see. And, you know, I have faith that he's going to do the right thing at the end of the day.
Look, the ballot issue that he's got in November to establish a kind of emergency state school districts to take over public...
Opportunity schools.
Opportunity schools districts is what he calls it. I think that's a gimme. I think the way the ballot question is phrased, that's an automatic win for him. It's more the January effort that he's got planned to remake the way that the state funds public school systems.
Yeah, redoing the quality basic education funding formula.
Exactly. And if he thinks that may already be a lost cause, well, then maybe he does sign campus carry.
Right, and don't forget, too, the governor of Georgia is a very powerful governor. He controls the revenue estimate. He's going to propose a budget. You're going to have a lot of legislators that are going to have specific things they want for their districts. And so I know the easy thing to say is if he vetoes this bill, he's not going to have any legislative support. Legislators are going to need the governor for things they want.
Yeah, Billy, we already know from this past session that Josh McCoon, by taking such a strong stand on religious liberty, among a few other little things that he did that angered the speaker and many others at the Capitol, he apparently lost some of his funding, and I don't think that Nathan Deal went to bat to try to have the money that he wanted for Columbus restored to the budget.
Yeah, and I think the more attention that is placed on social divisive issues like campus carry and the religious liberty could really turn off a lot more voters, especially women in Georgia, when the schools are an issue. When transportation is such a problem, creating quality jobs, economic inequality, those are the issues that the people want to talk about and hear solutions for, not these time after time divisive social issues.
Jim, do you think that all of this, from religious liberty to campus carry, to kind of pick up on what Billy just said, is going to in any way contribute to the possibility, because we hear Democrats talking about it again, as they have in the past, this becoming a purple state in November? Is there any reason to think that these issues, separate from whoever the Republican nominee is, will make a difference?
Honest? No. I don't think so. I think you're going to have to see some very proven lost contests by Republicans before they pull the reins up on these kinds of issues.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think it could happen in the future, and I think Republicans, if they're not careful, you know, paying attention to, you know, millennials and the Latino population and women, I think that you and the African American population, I think that, you know, you will see a demographic, you'll see a shift, but I think we're still a few years away from
it. Billy, you're
like
the Democrat
that.
In the room.
I don't think that politically at a state level, their majority is jeopardized. I do so think at a national level it is.
Well, but that's what I'm asking. Not about whether we're about to get a Democratic legislature. We're not. But does a Democratic presidential candidate have more of an opportunity based on this kind of Republican agenda here in the state?
President Barack Obama got 46% of the vote last time in Georgia and didn't campaign one day in the state. And that was against a unified Republican Party. If the party is split again and Donald Trump is the nominee with his ratings with women and minorities, Hillary Clinton, I think, has a good shot to win Georgia.
All right. Yeah, but Barack Obama was also an African-American president, the first African-American president running for re-election, which, if anything, energized the African-American base.
All right.
So different circumstance.
I got to get to another break. Real quickly, Jenny Ament, our producer who isn't here today, pointed out to me the other day that members of Congress spend about 4 hours out of their day raising money for their re-election campaigns. We only do this once or a couple of times a year. Let's go over to Ricky and Tanya, so they can tell you how you can help us.
You can join GPB at 800-222-4788 or by going online to gpb.org. I'm Ricky Bevington, joined by Bert Wesley Huffman. We are thrilled to be here during Political Rewind to remind you that this is member-supported GPB, and we are moving our spring membership campaign forward at warp speed. Here's how it works. The sooner we reach our goal, the sooner we get right back to more of what you listen for. So right now, we are asking you to join with your fellow listeners in supporting GPB, all the programs that you love. Your dollars are a direct investment in this program and every program on GPB. when we reach the goal to pay for these programs, it's over. It really is up to you. So take that time now before your Friday afternoon gets too busy. That website again, gpb.org or 800-222-4788.
And Ricky, what would you do if someone handed you $500?
My mind is going wild.
I know, mine too. And it could happen to you today, because when we hear from you now at 800-222-4788 or online at gpb.org, we're going to automatically enter you in our drawing to win a $500 Visa gift card. It's a prepaid $500 Visa gift card. As simple as that. It's good anywhere Visa is accepted, and it gives you the freedom to buy whatever you want. Support GPB now at gpb.org or call 800-222-4788, and you could be our very lucky winner.
My name is Amanda Respis, and I live in Macon. When I think about the programming on Georgia Public Broadcasting, I think integrity, honesty, and truth. As a professor in mass communication, specifically in advertising, I spend a lot of time listening to commercial messages, listening to things that are persuasive. And I rely especially on Morning Edition, whether it's Mara Liasson, all the way to Bill Nigut with Political Rewind. I want to get the stories and the truth and the angles that are behind those persuasive messages. And I think that's really important in an election year. You know, the presidential election always gets so much coverage and attention, but really hearing all sides of the story really makes a difference to me, and I encourage my students to do the same. I just want to encourage people to support GPB. I mean, if you can pay $10 for your digital streaming service for music or for movies or for TV shows, you certainly can pay that amount of money per month to get the kind of quality programming that you get on Georgia Public Broadcasting.
Amen. The way to support Georgia Public Broadcasting is by calling now 800-222-4788 or go online to gpb.org. I love what Amanda Respis just said. It really is about integrity. You know, amidst the rhetoric and political noise that you may find elsewhere in today's media, especially when it comes to politics, this election season, you can rely on GPB and programs like Political Rewind to bring you a variety of perspectives and leave the opinion making up to you. Today's program is such a great example of this. Such a talented group of experts speaking with Bill Nigut this afternoon. And since we are public radio, we rely on you rather than the commercial sponsors to help cover the costs of this and all of the news and information we bring you on GPB throughout the week. Please contribute now at whatever level is right for you, maybe $5 or $10 a month, 800-222-4788 or online at gpb.org.
You know, I was really listening to what Amanda was saying, and it did resonate with me, because I often talk about how, you know, how much are you spending for your digital streaming service, or how much are you spending on your digital movie service or whatever it is. I mean, your cable bill is astronomical. Think about that $10 a month, putting $10 a month into something that can change your life in a completely different way, that's bringing you good quality news and information and enhancing your life every day. Well, consider for a moment how much time you spend with GPB and the value that that listening brings to your life. When you think about that comprehensive news coverage, the variety of programs that we bring you here on GPB, a contribution of $10 a month, I think that is a great value. And it's super easy to do that when you join as a GPB sustainer at $10 a month. Your support automatically continues, and you never have to think about whether your membership is current or not. You can be a sustainer right now and help us in this warp drive by calling 800-222-4788. You can also do that super easy on gpb.org.
And at that $10 a month sustaining membership level, consider getting the GPB Camelback water bottle. It's a really gorgeous blue color. Again, $10 a month sustaining contribution or a one-time gift of $120 at 800-222-4788 and gpb.org.
Thank you, Ricky and Bert. We're back in the Political Rewind studio. Eric Tannenblatt is here, Billy Linville, and Jim Galloway. Jim, before we get to the presidential race, we ought to talk briefly about an unfortunate incident involving State Representative Tom Taylor.
Dunwoody Republican. He was arrested April 7th up in Rabun County for DUI. He had four juveniles in the car with him. Glock 36 strapped to his hip.
Legally.
Yeah. And he blew a .225, which is almost three times the legal limit. Mm-hmm. The most important thing, this is the chairman of the Legislative
MARTA Oversight Committee.
Is this the sort of thing that, I mean, obviously he's going to be in the court system. We'll watch it unfold. But if you're the Speaker of the House, you've got to be watching this very carefully.
Right. He's not. Taylor is not withdrawing his candidacy for re-election. He's got a primary opponent in a fellow named Tom Owens, whose candidacy is a little problematic. He's got some restraining orders against him, and so it's not. It's going to be a tough. Choice for voters in District 79.
All right, we'll keep track of that as it unfolds. Let's talk presidential politics. Billy Linville, you know, Democrats have watched with a certain delight over the last year the contentious, angry debates unfolding among Republican candidates for president. And last night, Hillary Clinton and Bernie Sanders met in Brooklyn, and here's what it sounded like.
I have supported the fight for 15. I am proud to have the endorsement of most of the unions that have led the fight for 15.
I am sure a lot of people are very surprised to learn that you supported raising the minimum wage to $15 an hour.
No, wait a minute.
That's just not accurate.
Come on. I have stood on the debate stage with Senator Sanders eight prior times.
Excuse me.
I have said the
Secretary,
exact same
Senator,
thing.
Please.
If the, we can raise it to
Secretary,
15 in New York
talking,
or Los Angeles
Secretary,
or Seattle,
the viewers,
let's do it.
If you're both screaming at each other, the viewers won't be able to hear either of you.
You know, Billy, when I was in my early 20s, one of the big novels was Exit to Brooklyn, which was a book about the really seamy side of Brooklyn, violent, you know, lots of fighting and stuff. That's what we saw last night. It was crazy.
Well, I think it's going to energize the Democratic Party and the Democratic base even more. It was interesting. It got a little contentious and vitriolic. But the difference between the debates with the Republican candidates and the Democratic candidates is, as you saw last night, the Democrats are debating issues, and the Republicans seem to be exchanging childish insults toward one another. And so I think that the voters are going to recognize that. They're going to be energized. There's no question that the Bernie Sanders camp is going to reconcile with Hillary at the convention. So I think they're going to come out unified and stronger than ever.
So, Eric, not to take too much issue with our first-timer Billy Linville, but yes, they've had some pretty strong policy debates over the last year. But last night what I saw was charge and recrimination. I mean, I saw less policy last night and a Bernie Sanders determined to hurt Hillary Clinton, thinking somehow he has a path to the nomination that almost no one thinks he does.
Well, it sounded like a episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm when I'm listening to Bernie Sanders. I see Larry David. But look, this is getting down to the wire. You know, we're getting down to the end of the primary season. It's obvious to most that Hillary Clinton's going to be the presumptive nominee because of the way that the Democrats select their delegates. And look, you got to give the guy credit. He started out, as he said, you know, 7% in the polls. And, you know, in some polls, he's leading her, even though he won't be the nominee. Now, she still has to pick a vice president. And I think a lot of what he's doing right now and a lot of what Billy said about energizing the base, I think that's going to have a lot of sway in who she ends up selecting.
Jim?
Well, it's not, you know, I think this is Bernie's last chance. If he doesn't carry New York, I think everybody agrees that he's pretty much done.
Right.
And I think he would probably ultimately acknowledge that. So I think this was did that debate sound Republican to me?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
But Billy, is Sanders at this, look, I mean, when a Bernie Sanders can go into Washington Square Park and have some 27,000 people by the campaign's count there to cheer him on, it's got to fuel all of his biggest imaginings about actually being the nominee of the party. And so he's fighting harder than ever. But is he hurting the presumptive nominee, probably Hillary Clinton, in the process?
He's getting close to hurting her, but I don't think that we've reached that point. But clearly Bernie Sanders has tapped into something that the country hasn't seen with young people in over 40 years. And that has to do with economic inequality, about the system being rigged against working folks and young professionals. And I think you're seeing that expressed very loudly and enthusiastically. It is great to see young people in their 20s be so involved in the political process. I think it's healthy in the long run, and I think we're going to see the rewards in November.
Yeah, and I disagree with you, Jim, on New York. I think even if he loses New York, he's going to keep going. I think he has this remarkable fundraising machine. He raised $40 million in February, $47 million in March. These are low-dollar contributors. All he has to do is hit a button, and they re-up. And as long as he has gas in the tank, I think it helps energize the Democrats. I think it will help increase the chances that someone that's more of his ilk will get selected vice president. And I think he takes it all the way.
But I think if Hillary wins New York, and I think by any margin, if she wins New York,
in the polls, yeah.
I think she can make a legitimate case for keeping Bernie at arm's length. And not engaging in any more of these confrontations.
Right, not to be poetic about this, but there is a certain poignancy, it seems to me, Billy, you're a big reader, in the Bernie Sanders, in his position right now. Here's a guy who's, 72?
74.
And he suddenly got this national acclaim. He's getting on in years, and he's finding himself beloved out there. And I would just think in a personal way, there's something about that that's got to charge him up and give him these dreams about what could happen. You know what I'm saying?
He's clearly basking in the glow of what's going on. But I think it has much to do with his authenticity. You know, he is who he appears to be. He's always fought these battles since he was a young man 50 years ago. So he's real in what he thinks and what he does. And I think that's very appealing to people.
Eric, in the same way that we have asked in this studio over the months whether GOP candidates are hurting themselves during the debate process, how much do you watch what's happening between Sanders and Clinton and think that it is fueling the campaign that will be run against Hillary Clinton, whether it's Ted Cruz, Donald Trump, or a player to be named later?
Well, sure. I watch with a lot of interest, and I think it's going to have a lot of impact on, you know, look, this actually is going to make Hillary Clinton a stronger candidate. You know,
it is. The attacks aren't going to be picked up by Republicans and used to hurt her.
Well, you know, I said at the beginning of the campaign when I didn't think that Bernie Sanders stood a chance and you had these other candidates that were running, I can't even remember who else ran in the Democratic primary, that, you know, she's going to be at a disadvantage because the Republicans are going to have this competitive primary and she would not have had to fight for it. And I think this has made her fight for it.
All right, Eric Tannenblatt, you get the last word of this segment. We want to go back to our fundraising team, because this is the week that we get to ask you to please help us continue to have great conversations like we're having today on Political Rewind. We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
And thank you for tuning in to Political Rewind on member-supported GPB. You have let us know that when it comes to membership campaigns, shorter is better. So right now, as we just heard Bill Nigut say, we are asking you to join us in an experiment. We thought, what if we told you as soon as we reach the goal, our spring membership campaign is over? Could we cut a day off the drive? Could this drive be 7 days or 14 days, 5 days or 12 days? It's all about moving this campaign forward at warp speed so we can get right back to more of what you listen for. We can do this together. Please renew your support, make an additional gift, or join us for the first time. But the most important thing is that we do hear from you now. Go to gpb.org and click donate or call 800-222-4788. A very good Friday afternoon to you. I'm Ricky Bevington here with Bert Wesley Huffman.
And when you do make that call at 800-222-4788 or go online to gpb.org, you could be the lucky winner of a $500 Visa gift card. We're going to give away one of those today, and one lucky caller or clicker is going to have an opportunity to win it. This prepaid $500 Visa gift card is good anywhere Visa is accepted, and it gives you the freedom to buy whatever you want, or maybe support whatever you want. You can support GPB now at gpb.org or call 800-222-4788. Remember, the rules for this drawing are available at gpb.org/drawing rules. You're not required to make a contribution to enter the drawing, but because you listen, I sure hope you will. Again, it's 800-222-4788 or gpb.org.
I listen to GPB radio because it keeps me connected with what's happening locally
around the state and around the world. And it's a very efficient way to keep up while I'm doing other things. It's great for multitasking.
I love the subject matter on Georgia Public Broadcasting. I think it's probably the most unbiased reporting. If you go to the cable stations, you know, it's either one or the other. Public Broadcasting does a very good job of taking neither side. I think it's very even broadcasting, and I like that.
If I'm looking at TV, the news seems to be opinionated more than it is on public radio. There's less fluff. It's not sensational. It's just the facts.
Public broadcasting cannot exist by itself. We have to come up with the money out of our own pockets.
Don't think that it's going to always be there because somebody else is going to provide your fair share.
Just as the way it is. If you like it, you shouldn't listen to it without sending some money in. Simple.
You can do your part now at 800-222-4788 or by going online to gpb.org. It is very simple. Whether we're talking about the presidential race, what we might expect in the next legislative session here in Georgia, or maybe issues in the news, the conversation that you hear on this program, Political Rewind, really does run the gamut of perspectives and leaves the opinion making to you. I would agree with the people we just heard from. That's what you invest in NPR to hear. There really is broad perspectives, balance, all of it. Right now, while you're listening, while you're taking stock of the value of this program and all of the programs you hear here on GPB, please take just a couple of minutes, chip in what you can to keep informative, civil conversation that are the hallmarks of public radio coming to you right here on GPB. You can do that by going to our secure website, gpb.org, and click donate, or the number 800-222-4788.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more, Ricky. I think that Political Rewind, the show you're listening to right now, is such a great example of civil conversation. I often tell Bill when I see him in the hallways here at GPB how much I appreciate this show because it allows so many opinions to be shared in such a cool and unique way. I know you support that, and I want you to do that by calling 800-222-4788 or online at gpb.org right now.
Support for GPB comes from our listener members and the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, now providing access to the AJC on a tablet and computer in the same page-by-page format as the print edition. Access included with a digital subscription. Details at ajcdelivers.com. And thank you to Sea Parks Catering, Georgia Public Broadcasting's exclusive caterer, for providing meals for our volunteers and for our staff during our spring membership campaign.
Welcome back to Political Rewind. Eric Tannenblatt, all the polls show Donald Trump is going to clobber both Ted Cruz and certainly John Kasich, although Kasich could come in second based on some of the polling in New York. Are you resigned to the fact that Donald Trump is on a path to become your party's nominee and that he could do it for the first ballot?
Well, I think he's going to have a victory in New York and Pennsylvania and some of the northeastern states, but that was expected. I'm not sure he's going to get the 1,237 delegates he needs to get the nomination on the first ballot. And if he doesn't get it on the first ballot, I think he's done. What's going on while all these primaries are taking place is the delegate selection process is underway in a number of states, including here in Georgia. We have not, to this point, elected one delegate to the national convention. And that will actually start at district conventions this month, and then the state convention next month, where the at-large delegates are going to get elected. And I would say that from my vantage point, Ted Cruz is probably a lot more organized in this state and from what I'm hearing all across the country. I think Donald Trump didn't understand the process. I think he brought in Paul Manafort to help manage the process, but it's a little too late. And I think that he's going to get caught up in that at the convention, and he'll get close, but I don't think he's going to get there.
Jim Galloway, I really said that to Eric, trying to look at the expression on his face, thinking about a first ballot victory. But he's right. And district conventions this weekend
are crucial. That's right. And what was interesting is on Thursday morning, the Trump Georgia campaign sent out an email to supporters saying, if you're interested in going to a convention to the district convention on Saturday, contact this person.
Crazy.
The thing is, you're not a delegate at Saturday's conventions unless you were picked at a county level last month. Yeah. Otherwise, you're just a spectator. If that, they can toss you out.
So explain to our listeners about these sort of secret agents that we're going to see.
Okay, these double agents. Okay, so Georgia has a state law, like many other states, that says if you are selected by your party as a delegate for a presidential candidate, you are obligated to vote for that presidential candidate on the first round. Thereafter, your vote is your own. So what Cruz has been very good at doing is finding party stalwarts who maybe they don't like Ted Cruz. Maybe he's not their first choice, but they're willing to cast a first ballot for Trump and then will walk away from the man. And that's the important thing. Maybe not commit to Cruz, but they wouldn't vote for Trump for a second
Billy
time.
Linville is shaking his head as he listens
to you.
No,
I have to disagree. I think that Donald Trump will be the nominee of the Republican
Party.
Well,
you're a Democrat. That's your wishful thinking, isn't
it? But I also think that if he has more delegates, he won more contests, and has won more votes, how do you deny him the nomination without him walking out, his supporters walking out, and crippling the entire convention in the election?
I'm not disagreeing with you, Billy. What I'm saying is, I'm like Eric. I don't think Donald Trump will get to 1237 through the primary process. I think he's going to arrive in June a little bit short. He's going to have to cut a deal with somebody, whether it's Kasich, whether it's Rubio, whether it's somebody else who controls the handful of votes that he needs to get to 1237. He's got to walk into Cleveland with 1237 votes or he doesn't get the nomination.
You know, this whole process reminds me, and you probably remember this, Bill and Jim, back in 1988 when Pat Robertson was running. And he got involved at the precinct level and tried to. We ended up sending two delegations to the convention.
This was because, a big Albany convention.
Right, because he got his folks, his supporters got elected delegates and tried to throw out the party establishment. Trump's organization did not do that, starting at the precinct level. So they're too late in the process in this state.
Yeah, just to explain what I meant, it was a contentious state Republican convention in Albany where the Robertson forces tried to take over, and the chairman at the time, John Stuckey, got so angry, he pounded his gavel, broke it in half, and
I thought some fists flew in that one.
That's
exactly
right.
Well, they had the Albany High School football team in the front.
But when Donald Trump suggested that if they deny him the nomination, there will be riots in the street, I think that's a real possibility if it is perceived by him and his supporters as being stolen from him.
Billy, what do you think? I go back to the question I asked a while back. If Donald Trump is the Republican nominee for president, will Georgia still be a red state, or does this open the door for people to think about voting for the Democrat?
I think that Hillary Clinton can possibly win Georgia and a lot of other states
Eric,
that usually are red.
What do you think?
I think it's going to be hard in Georgia for a Democrat to win at the presidential level. But let's go back to the delegates a second. We're going to know, you know, it's always easy to speculate. We'll know June 7th. We'll have a much better sense after the California primary where all this shakes out. You know, if it is very close and he's short, you know, is he going to start flying people down to Palm Beach to his resort and wining and dining delegates? But I think we'll have a better sense. And that will also help to prepare for the convention in Cleveland.
All right. This has been a great discussion. We're going to cut it short because we are going to go back to our fundraising folks, because it is so terribly important that you help support us. I know that I think I speak for the three of you here. It's really kind of fun to come into this studio and get a chance to try to explain to listeners out there who care about politics but don't have your insights. So we want to keep this going. So I want to thank Jim Galloway from the AJC. Billy Linville, great first-time appearance. Long-time listener, first-time participant. And Eric Tannenblatt, always great to have you here as well. Before we leave you, tomorrow on Two-Way Street, we have a fascinating show. We're going to be talking to Dr. Mark Rosenberg. He is the head of the Task Force for Global Health, which is the single largest nonprofit in Georgia, a $1.5 billion a year organization, the best kept secret in the state. They're also in the top five in the country. They work on neglected tropical diseases. He is going to talk to us about the crucial work they do and about his career in public health. And I think a lot of you who listen to that show know that I'm fascinated by the stories that public health officials like Mark Rosenberg have to tell. So we're on at 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. I hope you'll join us. If you didn't tweet us during the show today, please do. We're at Politics GPB. We'll keep the conversation going when we're off the air, so we really want to hear from you. Thank you, and thank you to Sean Powers, who filled in today for Jenny Amond, who is out on the West Coast for a wedding. We'll welcome her back next week. But thanks for your help today, Sean. That's it for me. I'm Bill Nigut. We'll see you again next Wednesday, right after the New York primary.